This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Homies, legends, lend me your ears. How you living? It is the L-E-F-K-O-E. I know you said it for me, so I appreciate you. How is everybody doing? How you living? How you feeling? I hope you guys enjoyed Travelle Gaines the other day. My man's hitting me up. He says that you guys are sending him so many messages, he doesn't even realize what's going on. He told me, and this is word for word, I love the 33%. I love the homies. You guys are making this podcast freaking huge, because every time I get a freaking guest on now, they go, so many of the homies are hitting me up. And I just want you guys to know, now that I'm like messaging athletes to try and do stuff with them, they know because of y'all. So I appreciate you. To every homie that is joining in on the Eat Like a Homie Challenge, love y'all. Love y'all. This is going to be day three, or for some of you, if you did it Tuesday, Wednesday, and this is going to come out on Thursday. So this will be day number three. Day number four for me, fatal flaw, I forgot to weigh myself. And I already feel like I've lost like 20 pounds. No, but I'm not going to weigh myself. I'm just going to do this because I want to be healthy. And that's something I want to say to all you guys. Again, I'm not going to force this down anybody's throat. But a lot of you are saying, what are we doing? What are we giving up? What are we not eating? Homies, you know what healthy is. This ain't we're all giving up something. Whatever you think, ice cream's probably not it. You know, like fried chicken's probably not it. So just be smart. That's all we're doing. We're not giving up anything. We're just going to be smart. And the other thing is too, if you got a moment of weakness, like yesterday I was at a restaurant that had a bread bowl that would have knocked you on your ass. And it took all of my strength not to eat one of them rolls. If you do, it's okay, man. Like just get back at it tomorrow. As a chubby fat guy talking to all the homies out there, I'm rocking with you because I know what this shit's like. And a lot of people are saying, I want to work out with Travelle Gaines. How do I enter? Take a picture of you on the scale, like looking down at your weight. Because I know, like, the other thing that sucks is, like, nobody's trying to send me before pictures. And to be honest, no offense, I'm not really trying to see before pictures. If you want to take one, great. And take that before and after, awesome. My only other thing, too, is if y'all could wear socks when you take the picture, I would appreciate that. I'm not trying to look at everybody's feet. And the other thing is if you want to write your name on your socks as proof, so you guys aren't going on Google Images and finding random people on scales. So take, if you want to write like your name or your handle on the socks, also don't send them to me now because I'm just going to forget them. So when the 33 days are up, you send them in there. We'll see how you're doing. But the whole point of this is I'm trying to be healthy. Let's everybody get healthy. And then this summer, we're just like shredded football-knowing machines. Coming up in a little bit, we have, oh, by the way, I am so excited to do what I'm about to do. But Kevin Byard, all-pro safety from the Tennessee Titans. If you remember when I was in Atlanta for a little bit, I'm going to be gone next week too. So I got three interviews that I'm saving for you guys, and now I'm ready to release them to you. Today will be Kevin Byard, all-pro safety. We talked about him posing on the star. If you remember that game on Thursday night, I think it was, or Monday night, Titans-Cowboys, he posed on the star. What it was like to be an all-pro, Mariota, very good conversation. That's coming up in a bit. And then next week, Austin Hooper, with one of the best conversations I've had, the tight end for the Falcons. You're going to love this guy. And you guys know that my pro player comparison for the longest time was who? Algie Crumpler. Big body, possession over the middle. I did not know he was coming in. an interview with Algie Crumpler, and I got to talk to him about that Brian Dawkins hit that removed every ounce of his soul. We laughed about it. We yelled about it. It was great. So those are coming up next week. I think tight ends might be my spirit animal because the conversations with those guys were great. One thing that wasn't great, you know, look, guys, I've been running the Left Go Show social, Instagram, Twitter. And so when you see me comment on my own shit, don't make fun of me, bro. I'm just trying to keep this thing alive. But I saw something in the comment section that really upset me. And I can't believe that happened. I saw it and it broke me to my core. And I don't even remember where it is. I couldn't find it just now. But somebody wrote, RIP, whoa, big off season. And fellas, ladies, it stopped me in my tracks because I went, holy fuck. I've been doing these interviews and I know that y'all been liking them and I hope that you like them, but I'm missing out on the number one thing that this show is based on. So I am now ready to give you a super-sized version of what? Hit that music, Nick.
Whoa!
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 Big off season.
Shout out to Audio Nick. Shout out to Stinky Fingers Gabe. They were in a booth and they just started yelling Wallola. It is back. It is whoa, big off season. Here's what we're doing though. A lot of stories I had to catch up on. Some of these are whoa, big off season, and some of these are whoa, big off season. Because some of these are real and some of these are just woes. So we're going to start off with a whoa, big off season. Joe Flacco, this is a tweet from Ryan Konigsberg in Denver. Joe Flacco just overthrew a guy that was seven. Oh, I went to the wrong camera. Hold on, Nick, go with me again. Ready? Whoa, big off season. Joe Flacco overthrew a guy that was 70 yards down the field. Can't see I've ever seen that around here before. Whoa, big offseason. You mean to tell me that Joe Flacco can throw the ball far? That's never been the issue. Also, you're in Denver. But, man, I don't know if Drew Locke's going to be the quarterback of the future because Joe Flacco's out here throwing some bombs. That's a whoa. Now, whoa, big offseason. Apparently, the Jets GM is being assisted by Peter Schrager. The New York Jets are reaching out to Good Morning Football reporter Peter Schrager, and Manish Mehta has been all over this, turning to him for opinions, suggestions, and intel on who the GM could be. This is wild to me. This is, to me, the bottom that the Jets have reached. And this is not an insult to Peter Schrager, who is a great guy. But the fact that it seems like the Jets have gotten rid of an internal search committee and are instead going to a reporter to help them find their next GM feels like crazy pills. To me, is Adam Gase... You know how Donald Trump watches Fox and Friends every morning and that's where he gets his news? Does Adam Gase have a TV where they can't find the remote and NFL Network's on and he has to watch Good Morning Football and he's sitting there going, I'll tell you what, Ms. Peter Schrager knows some things. This to me, if I was a Jets fan, is of all the things that have happened. Anthony Barr spurning you at the last moment and going back to Minnesota, firing some scouts recently, stories coming out that Adam Gase never wanted Le'Veon Bell, Adam Gase publicly saying, I'm just the coach, but also secretly manipulating everybody in the front office. Of all the things, the fact that they're turning to Peter Schrager for their GM search, again, not a slight to Peter Schrager, is one of the scariest things I've ever heard if I was a Jets fan. Undoubtedly, a whoa, big offseason. Whoa, big offseason. Derek Carr on being the quarterback for the Raiders. Quote, the owner, head coach, GM, and quarterback are all on the same page. This is my team, and I'm not going anywhere. Followed it up by saying, what was the percentage chance the Raiders would have drafted a quarterback? He put it at negative 47. Hey, Derek. your backup quarterbacks are Mike Glennon, Landry Jones, and, oh no, I read that right, Nathan Peterman. No shit, you're the quarterback, Derek. I'm glad you got job security. Like, that is the funniest backup room I've ever heard. Mike Glennon, pick six Mike Glennon, pick six Nathan Peterman, and Landry Jones, who once said he thought about quitting football to become a minister, are your backups. You're good. Oh, I'm glad you got job security. Whoa! All right, now we're going to get serious, Nick. Apparently, Myles Garrett was told by former defensive coordinator Greg Williams, now New York Jets defensive coordinator, piling on there, Greg Williams, that he was only allowed to use two pass rushing moves last season. He was told, these are the ones that work, don't use any other ones. And Myles Garrett was like, what am I supposed to do? The reason this is a woe is new defensive coordinator Steve Wilks, formerly the Arizona Cardinals, is going to let him unleash the bag. If Myles Garrett had that kind of a season last year and could only use two moves, what are we about to witness? The hype in Cleveland continues to build. I need to get Myles Garrett on this show. I'm going to hit him up. If you guys want to reach out to him, I'd appreciate it. Whoa! Big offseason. Sam Beal, second-year player from the Giants, was taken in the compensatory draft last year. Didn't play an entire snap, though. Has apparently looked great at OTAs. This is right in the whoa big offseason wheelhouse. Why did he look great? Because on one play, reporters got a chance to watch practice, and he stuck out his hand and swatted an Eli Manning pass, and it was intercepted by Jabril Peppers. Quote from Beal, I'm going to read it how he said it. I just seen the quarterback staring him down, quote, I've got some good eyes. Intercepting your own quarterback in practice is like screen watching your friend picking plays in Madden. It's like playing GoldenEye and you use that little motherfucker whose name I can't, Oddjob, and you're looking at the other people's screen to find where they set the proximity mines. And you're in practice, bro. You know all the plays. You know exactly the routes and where they're trying to go. And to make matters worse, you know, these New York teams are cracking me up. He's already nicknamed the secondary the new NYPD, the New York Pass Defense. Saw this a few years ago. You know, they had DRC, they had Janoris. The current secondary of the Giants, this supposed New York pass defense, Sam Beal, Jabril Peppers, Antoine Bethea, Janoris Jenkins. You don't get a nickname, bro. Like, you can't call yourselves the new NYPD when one of you, I don't mean to insult Antoine Bethea. Antoine Bethea is a great player. Not a lot left in the tank. Janoris Jenkins fell off a cliff last year. But if Sam Beal and Jabril Peppers are in your secondary, you don't get a cool nickname. That's why you are a, whoa, big offseason. This is one of the most serious woes I've ever seen. There are some times that we get information that can change the landscape of the NFL, an entire division, the future of a franchise, and this one is about the number 100. This is so serious that I don't want to fuck it up. But apparently, when asked what sleep number mattress he uses, Kirk Cousins uses a 100. Quote, I go as firm as it gets. I'm an intense, even when I am sleeping. Wow. I mean, to my core, I am shocked. We've just learned that the only thing stiffer than Kirk Cousins is his mattress. But it shows you this is a guy that counts pebbles outside of his house to remind himself of his mortality. He sleeps on practically a slate, a 100 mattress. Are you a psychopath? What I'm realizing is Kirk Cousins a vampire? Does he measure himself because he's watching other people die and in his mind he can't handle this existence anymore? If you have garlic, do not go around Kirk Cousins. Has anyone ever seen Kirk Cousins' reflection? I haven't. Now I'm a little bit worried. Kirk Cousins. Whoa, that was really, really scary. I'm going to stay on the serious one. Jared No. Whoa, big offseason. Jared Veldheer is retiring from the Patriots. Yes, that Jared Veldheer that signed with the Patriots 8 days ago, which it brings up a lot of history and one big question. What the fuck is going on at Patriots practice that these esteemed veterans, after a very short time, need to hit the trail? Reggie Wayne, Patriot for a few days, retires. Eric Decker got through like a preseason game, retired. Wide receiver Leonard Hankerson, remember he went to Miami, then was on Washington, then up on the Patriots. In his Twitter bio says, I was a Patriot for 10 days, LOL. And what I'm realizing is, how many of you start a job and you go, let me just get past the first week. It'll get better. Jared Veldheer lasted 8 days. Which to me is, holy shit, this first week is crazy, showed up the next Monday and went, oh, this is every fucking day? I'm out. To me, it's the only team where you see this happen. The Patriots are the only team where these guys go, I've waited my entire career to finally play for Bill Belichick and a Super Bowl champion. They go there for a short amount of time and they're out. Jared Veldheer retires after 8 days is a super woe. But the thing is you can go, wow, this team lost Trent Brown. Wow, their number one swing tackle goes to the Bills. What, and now they're relying on Isaiah Wynn, who didn't even play last year. I'm just going to say this like I always do. If any of you have a shred of doubt about Bill Belichick and the Patriots, you can see yourself out and you can go and listen to another podcast. There will be no doubting of Bill Belichick on this podcast. That is a fool's errand. We don't do that here. And so guess what? They're going to find some hot dog salesman. Dante Scarnecchia is going to coach him up and they'll be fine at left tackle because that's what Bill Belichick does. And we end with this. I know that a lot of you right now are eating healthy. You're eating like a homie. You're not the only one. NFL players getting in the mix. You know that we love when dudes go vegan and change that diet because that's what we care about on the Left Coast Show. And our guy, White Boy Supreme, Christian McCaffrey, little article in GQ where he talked about his diet. Apparently got some testing done. My man can't have chicken, tuna, wheat, or soy. Damn. But listen to what this dude does. On Monday, because it's a, quote, straight linear explosive training day, all he has are egg yolks. So all the homies out there that are eating healthy right now, making them egg whites, ship your yolks to Christian McCaffrey because this dude is fucking Rocky drinking egg yolks on a Monday. You want to know why his arms were so jacked? Because this man is crushing yolks. Then he said, Saturday nights are cheat night. And he does love a little sushi, but he says his vices. And I'm going to tell you that he may have listed, and I'd love for you guys to tell me if I'm wrong, the two best snack foods of all time. And my respect towards Christian McCaffrey skyrocketed when I saw these because the man has taste. Cool Ranch Doritos and Oreos. I don't know if Christian McCaffrey is doing a little daddy cigar, but I'm just telling you, I was just on a bachelor party for my guy Brad in Denver, and the only two things that I threw in the cart, everyone's throwing in very responsible things. I was in Denver. Oreos and Cool Ranch Doritos. Christian McCaffrey sucking down egg yolks on a Monday, chomping on Oreos and Cool Ranch Doritos on a Saturday. You, my friend, are the Whoa Big Offseason Eater of the Week. I salute you, CMC. one thing I want to do before we get to the Kevin Bayard interview, which again is awesome, is there is something happening. I asked you when we were changing between Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay for our favorite coach in the NFL, which is right now Sean McVay, another guy that I need to get on the podcast. I'm going to write that down. There is stock when it comes to coaches or players. And like everybody else, you want to buy stock when it's low before it gets high. All of you guys bought stock in Sean McVay, and I approve the move, but that's not – buying stock in Sean McVay is like spending $2,000 for a share of Google. That's like trying to call up Berkshire Hathaway for a little advice. But there is a coach that I have constantly said on this show is quickly becoming my favorite quote in the NFL. I am a super Fangio. And I think we should all be super Fangios. Because Vic Fangio, remember, I didn't know it was gonna dry out my greasy Italian skin. This man is incredible. Two quotes from Vic Fangio of the Denver Broncos. When asked about Chris Harris's contract situation, he said, quote, "I stay out of it. That's the business side of football. I deal with football business." He is just the most football guy, football coach ever. An old Italian coach. I love it. His other quote, though, I loved. Noah Fant, who you know I loved, tight end out of Iowa that destroyed the combine. Vic Fangio said that Noah Fant, quote, "He's got tools. But, you know, I can go into Home Depot and walk out with a bunch of nice tools, and I'm not a carpenter." Vic Fangio went fucking Tommy Boy, and nobody caught it. "You know, I can get a hell of a look of a good T-bone steak by sticking my head up a bull's ass, but I'd rather take the butcher's word for it." He went Tommy Boy. He went Chris Farley, like freaking out at the dining room table. Vic Fangio, I'm telling you, buy stock. Denver is going to turn it around a little bit this season, and that defense is going to open up a lot of people's eyes. I'm just saying. Call up your bookie. If you're using that app, Acorns, find a way to buy stock in Vic Fangio. Enough of me. Let's get to the main man himself. All-pro safety Kevin Bayard. Interviewed him down there in Atlanta. Awesome conversation. And again, after you listen, hop on the Twitter, hop on the Instagram, hit up my man Kevin Bayard and say, "Thank you for coming on the Left Go Show. You are the fucking man. Treat him with respect. He came in our house, and you know how the 33% does." I'll holler at you guys next week. It's going to be a lot of fun. Be well. Keep eating like a homie. Enjoy the interview. Welcome to the Left Go Show. It was very dramatic. I got with me today an all-pro, a man that led the NFL for a season with 8 interceptions, a man that was underdrafted going in the third round.
First pick of the third round.
And now in a beautiful fucking situation. In a contract year on a team that has playoff aspirations, Kevin Bayard of the Tennessee Titans.
Yes, sir. Glad to be here, man.
And you were born in Philadelphia.
Yes, I was.
Which has a special place in my heart.
Okay.
But then you moved down to Georgia, right?
Yeah, I moved to Georgia and went to high school down here in Atlanta, MLK High School. So,
how much Philadelphia got into your system?
A lot. I mean, my entire family's still up there. My dad's still up there. So, every too often I try to get up there. I'm actually going to try to get up there this year. Hopefully, maybe 4th of July or something like that.
Yeah.
Got to go up there, see my grandma, and go see all my family.
Eagles
members.
Fans?
Everybody's Eagles fans. So you know when the Eagles came to town last year, I had my family down here. They wore their Eagles jerseys in our family section.
Stop.
So you know they were salty going home. So you know
what
I had to tease
them. What is that like as a player that you share a name and blood,
right,
but they're still going to rock the Eagles jersey?
Hey, I mean, it's something you can't control. Like I said, all my of course, my dad, he had my jersey on.
Okay.
But, you know, all my family members, my uncles, they had their Eagles jersey on there, and they're arguing with Titans fans in the stands or whatever. So
wow.
It was real good to tease them at the end of the game.
Well, I'll tell you what, that was, in my mind, one of the worst Eagles games of the year. Mm. What you guys did to come back in the game,
right?
What was it, 4th and 20? You guys got a completion on?
Got a real good completion.
But then you guys completely shut down that offense in the second half and overtime.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we did all last year, honestly. I mean, we had a great defense last year. I mean, honestly, I think most of the playoff teams that we played, you talk about the Eagles, talk about the Patriots and different teams like that, we beat a couple of playoff teams last year. So hopefully we kind of take that to the next step and actually get into the playoffs and get into the tournament this year.
Not only that, you had against another – I don't know if the Texans did not make the playoffs. What – 66-yard touchdown pass?
Oh, against Houston. No, it was against Houston. I think it was against Houston. Yeah, week two.
I didn't realize you owned the longest touchdown pass by a defensive player in the history, in the Super Bowl era. Did you know that it was the longest?
Yeah, you know, of course, I had a bunch of Twitter mentions and stuff like that telling me. But, like, this is definitely a cool moment, just one of those things where got the right look, coach gave me the cue, and I, you know what I'm saying, threw a touchdown.
Here's what's so funny about you. You have that play. You have an all-pro. You have the moment where you get on the star and you do all that. And I still think that not enough people know who Kevin Byard is. Do you agree with me?
I mean, I would definitely say so. But, you know, at this point in my career, you know, none of that stuff really matters at this point. You know, I'm just kind of focused on my team, trying to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think if you win a Super Bowl, man, everybody in the country is going to know who we are. So that's kind of my focus, my aspirations on, you know, getting that big championship ring.
Who do you study? Who did you study growing up, like when you were looking to be a safety? Who were the guys?
It's funny. So, you know, I started off playing quarterback in high school. And the first day my coach told me I was going to have to play safety, I went to YouTube and I typed up Brian Dawkins, Weapon X.
Yes.
So I started with Brian Dawkins. But I was a Pittsburgh fan growing up, too. So I love Troy Polamalu. Always love Ed Reed.
You grew up in the era of safeties.
Yeah, most definitely.
The Polamalu, Reed, Dawkins era was the best.
Probably one of the three greatest safeties to ever play the game, in my opinion. Especially
and all
in my
at the
era.
Same time.
All at the same time. All great. Played about 10 years apiece. So, I mean, it's just great to see those guys. And like I said, I emulated those guys. And when I got to college, I had a guy named Earl Thomas that, you know, I had some film in my coach's office. I used to watch him. Love watching him go sideline to sideline chasing the rock, man.
Who do you think your play, like if people were to look at your play right now, who do you think your style is most reminiscent of? Like, who did you take the most from?
Honestly, I would say nobody. I'm not really into the comparisons. I don't really feel like nobody really has my game. I really feel like I can play sideline to sideline back during the post. I can get down the box and get dirty, and I also can blitz the quarterback. So I don't really think, I think I have a lot of different people in me, but I don't really say nobody really compares to me.
Well, I'm going to say this, and this is very selfish. I hope Titans drop a bag on your doorstep, but if not, the Eagles are going to need a safety in a year.
Hey, man, like I
and
said,
if you
man.
Can come home. We're going to bring it home. You can bring your cool Supreme shirts and your off-whites, and we can hang out in Philadelphia, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it'll be good because, like I said, being with my family. But at this point right now, I love the Titans. I love Nashville. I want to finish my career in Nashville.
That's great.
And it's just a great city, a great town to play football, and I love the way the city's going, it's building. You should see it right now for the draft right now. You got all these cranes going up and stuff like that. So it's a great city, and I would love to be in Nashville.
My question for you is this. I have an agent. When it's time for my contract to be up, I'm torn between let me do my job and I want to know what the last talk was. What did you say to your agent for this upcoming season, like to get your mind right? Like what lines did you guys establish?
I wouldn't really say it was any lines established, man. I think those things kind of play themselves out, you know, as time goes on. When free agency hit, he already had some clients that he had to work on and things like that. So I just told him, like, listen, man, I don't even really want to talk about it.
Gotcha.
I want to come back, focus on football, and if something happens, something happens. If it don't, then I'm completely fine with it. You know, I feel like I'm blessed either way it goes.
Dude,
you know?
Well, you're, like I said, you're in an amazing situation. To come out like you did, the benefit of going first pick in the third round is there's one less year on that rookie deal.
Right.
And this is the Players Podcast. Mm. I want everyone to get a bag. When Russell Wilson got 65 on the signing bonus and did his little – y'all got to go to bed with Sierra. Like,
that was hilarious.
He can talk like that now.
Right, right.
I believe that this is the year of Russell Wilson. You know how Stephen Urkel had Stefan? I believe that we are now in Russell Wilson.
Yeah, Russell's acting. He's acting different right now.
Right?
Man. You see him laying in the bed with the chains on, man.
With
that was pretty awesome.
On.
That was awesome.
His hair is different. He's dressing up nice.
Right.
It's incredible what a good woman can do to a man.
Nah, you're right about that.
Right?
I think every man needs a powerful woman behind him.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody.
Shout out to your wife.
Most
Shout
definitely.
Out to my fiance. Hey. The star. Were you inspired by T.O.? Did you know you were going to do it? Like, what was the thinking behind it? Because when I Google you, like, 9 out of 10 are about the fucking star.
Right,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's funny. So it was kind of one of those, it just kind of happened in the moment. It was like sort of pregame. I was just like, man, hey, listen, if I make a big play, hey, meet me in the 50. Meet me at the 50. So it wasn't like I was just playing it week before. It was just like I was just super excited for the game. It was Monday night.
It's such a cool stadium.
Yeah, it was a dope play, and it was crazy. So, like, as soon as I caught the pick, I pointed straight at the star. I was like, I'm going straight to the star. And like I said, it was something that kind of just came up. Of course, you know, Vrabel and none of the coaches liked it as well. And, I had to talk with him about it. So,
how did that conversation go? Because Vrabel could still play right now.
Nah, for sure. Vrabel, I mean, he gets down and dirty with players in practice, even pregame and stuff like that. But, you know, he just kind of told me that, you know, he just wished I would have came and turned around, you know, excited, got excited with my teammates, went to the sideline, things like
that. And then what did you say back?
I say, man, I won't be dancing on the star again. I told him that.
Yeah.
No more, you know, out of the way
celebrations. Apologize afterwards. Right. Don't ask for permission. You know what I mean?
Right.
The thing, our society is so funny because we want everyone to be like Barry Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when are you ever going to, like, you might not have that opportunity again. Like, you might not play in Dallas Stadium for another 8 years with the way the schedules and calendars work out. And then when you play the Cowboys, it might be in Tennessee. So, and it's not even about marketing. It's not about branding. It's like life is about experiences, too.
Yeah, you're right. And honestly, I wasn't even thinking about how it was going to affect this or was it going to pop up on TV. I mean, I kind of figured it afterwards, but it was just kind of one of those things. I kind of get caught into the game. I'm a real passionate guy. I'm emotional. And I made a big play. I was like, hey, let's celebrate. That's what I told the guys. Let's go dance in the middle of the field. That's kind of my thing as a team, dance in the middle of the field.
So what is it like to stand on the star and to have 80,000 people around you and they're upset because you made what was those seconds like? Take me to those seconds.
I mean, it was awesome. Honestly, when I first got to the middle star, I kind of peeked behind me because I was thinking somebody was going to hit me and knock me off the star.
You were worried about
I was like, somebody's going to knock me off the star. Of course, Byron Jones came and pushed us off or whatever. But it was exciting. But honestly, it was more exciting. It was a lot more better the fact that we won the game. We was out to come down there, get a big win on Monday night.
Yes.
So that was definitely the most exciting thing about everything.
I think a lot of people thought, here come the Titans after that game.
Mm-hmm.
You guys came out there. Derrick Henry finally kind of burst onto the scene again. You guys went out there, shut down that offense. I think that game did they have Amari Cooper at that time?
Yeah, they did.
But it was like the first.
I think that might have been his first game.
First game.
Something like that, yeah.
So, but you guys went out there. Marcus had a phenomenal game.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't finish maybe the way that you guys were hoping.
Right.
Why do you have confidence that this year it'll be a full year? Because the Texans game, the Eagles game, the Patriots game, the Cowboys game, you guys had some games that went, oh, they can compete with anybody.
Right.
How do we get that for a whole year?
Yeah, I think last year, I mean, we were consistently inconsistent. Now, we'll have a good game, then we'll have a bad game, a good game, bad game. And that's something we've been talking about just this offseason about how do we go from good to being great? You know, even if you're walking down the hallway, somebody asks you how you're doing, you know, you say, I'm good. No, I'm great. Because, you know what I'm saying, we're kind of trying to drill it in your mindset. Everything we're going to do, we're going to try to be great at it. And I think we have a great team. I think we have a great defense. We have a great offense. So, like I said, it's all about taking that next step. And whatever we have to do it, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, we had a new coaching staff.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of reasons why, you know, some teams fail is just absence of trust. Being able to trust each other, trust the coaches. And now we have another year in the system, another year with the coaches. So we're developing that trust. And that trust, I feel like, has already been developed. So now it's about taking that next step and taking it to the next level so we can get in that tournament.
When you have a coach that actually balled, what's the difference? Like, what does it give you guys that a coach that didn't play?
I mean, it's just a different level of respect. I mean, you know, he's been there, done that. He's been in the locker room. He's had those locker room conversations. He's been on the field. He's been through a training camp. Pretty sure training camp was way harder back then than it is now.
Shit.
So it's just a level of respect, and so you kind of trust what he's saying. He kind of been there, done that. He's won Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So it's easy to get behind a guy like that and follow his lead.
Was there ever a moment in the locker room where he was giving a speech where you're like, he is so amped up right now? Like, was there a moment?
Honestly, it's like that every single day. I mean, he gets in front of the team, and he has that voice that just carries, like, that leadership role. And it's something that, you know, as soon as he talks, everybody's listening. You know what I'm saying? And one thing I respect from him, he holds everybody accountable. From the top to the bottom, from the quarterback to myself to anybody on the team, he's going to hold you to the same standard as he will an undrafted guy or a practice squad guy. So that's something that everybody loves about him and definitely shows respect.
Take me to the Thursday night, Jacksonville, balls on the 1 yard line. Derrick Henry gets the ball. What happened afterwards was an absolute massacre. I've never seen a running back do that to not just a defense, but to the Jaguars defense. What was your view? Where were you? Take me through what you saw. Right.
You know, we're sitting on the sideline. Of course, I'm sitting with my DBs. And it's funny because ever since I've been drafted here, me and Derek came in the same class. Derek always breaks a long run every year. He always gets like a 60-yard run or something like that. But that run right there, once he broke, it's like, okay, he stiff arm AJ. You know what I'm saying? He's probably going to get tackled by the 50. Then you got another stiff arm. And then another, that's when you're already on your feet, jumping up there like, oh, he's about to go. Man, honestly, that probably was the most exciting football play I've probably seen in my entire life. To see a guy that size taking off 99 yards.
Yes.
It didn't even look – the funny thing is, Derrick doesn't look like he's running that fast when he's moving until he just skating away from everybody. The guy's athletic. He's a freak of nature, honestly.
When it's a division rival and a division rival that – honestly, the Titans have kind of owned the Jaguars for the last few years.
Yeah.
What does it make it more special? Especially because that defense talks so much shit.
Right. Yeah, I mean, most definitely. Like I said, it's kind of one of those games where, you know, I think that's always on our schedule. You got Jacksonville. It's kind of like a rivalry game almost. And every single game, you know, it kind of get a little trash talking a little bit throughout the week with certain guys. You might hear Casey make a statement or two or something like that. But it's always an exciting game. You know it's going to be a defensive battle. It's going to be like a bloodbath. So you don't really expect it to be high scoring. So you go into the game like, hey, man, we got to play good run defense. We can't let these guys get any big plays. So that's always our mentality going to Jacksonville or even if Jacksonville comes home.
I'm sorry that Bortles isn't there anymore. I'm just being a dick. But I mean, like, come on, bro.
Right.
Like, that team, I'm talking shit. You don't have to join in. I'm talking the shit. This is the Lefko show. Jacksonville is so talented, and they were winning despite him for 2 years. Like, I have to imagine that when you guys were watching film, you're like, I mean, this could be Pick City. You had to be.
I mean, you know, me, I always have a certain level of confidence against, honestly, any quarterback.
Yeah.
And
but even you know, more so.
Yeah, I mean, I give him his respect, man. He led those guys to the AFC Championship game, something that I haven't been before. So hopefully
we can. I understand that. I'm just saying this. Football is the ultimate fucking team game.
Right.
All right? Like, sometimes Calais Campbell leads you to the AFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. Like, we give these credit to the quarterbacks all the time. Like, they're doing everything. Yeah. And it's like, okay, when he threw 11 passes, like, no, I think it's Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye led them to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. I mean, defense definitely going to win championships. You can look at it in the Super Bowl. You didn't get a high-scoring Super Bowl game as well. So, I mean, anytime you have to – I mean, it has to be a team thing. You can't just have –
You handle that well. I talked a lot of shit right there.
You can't just have a great quarterback – In a sorry defense, it's not going to do anything. No. You're just going to sell a bunch of tickets, and then when you get to the playoffs, you're going to lose in the first round or second round. So
you've experienced a lot of Marcus now. Mm-hmm. I hear that he's gaining weight to do that. The thing that I love about Marcus is I feel like he's really letting himself out there now. Mm-hmm. When I see him get that play against Jacksonville and stand up or catch his own touchdown in the playoffs, the thing that sucks is he could play amazing and then miss the next week, which sucks.
Right.
Where do you think we are? How do you think Marcus is doing? And what is something about Marcus that we don't know that shows how tough this guy actually is?
Right. I mean, actually, even going back to that Jacksonville game, that play he made and went up and buried Church, that was uncharacteristic of Marcus.
Like,
that's something
shocked.
You never see. And he kind of showed a little bit of that competitiveness in him. But I think Marcus is doing great, man. Like I said, I see him every single day. I know how hard he works every single week to even make sure that his body is good throughout the year. And, I mean, he went through a lot of injuries last year, and that's something unfortunate.
Is it something like you walk by the training room and you see the pain he's in? Like, is that man battling and we just don't see it?
Yeah, and that's one thing about Marcus, man. Like I said, he's battled through injuries, but he's not going to – he doesn't show it like that because he's such a competitor. He wants to be out there with his teammates. He wants to play in every single game. But like I said, man, it's one thing I learned from Vrabel when he talks about this all the time, man. It's 100% injury rate in the NFL. You're going to get injured at some point. But one thing that I think most guys don't know about Marcus, man, he just has some type of magic about him. Just like you said, throwing the touchdown to himself, catching it. I mean, if you even seen last year, we played against the Giants, man, and Derrick Henry bounced the run, and he literally, like, had a lead block, man, laid Ogletree out, like, shoulder into him. And this is injury, coming back from injury and all that, putting his body on the line for his guys. So, I mean, that's a guy that I will always defend, somebody that I will always want to be my quarterback because I know for a fact he's going to live and die on that field for you. And that's something that, you know, so I'm going to do the same thing for him. So
that's amazing.
Love him being our quarterback.
Are you the biggest Drake fan ever?
I won't say the biggest Drake fan ever, but I've been.
Because like 90% of your captions on IG are like Drake lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, I love Drake, man. I've been listening to Drake since from the beginning. So, yeah, I would say I'm definitely a Drake fan.
Best album is what?
Take Care. Easy. I mean, he's got a lot of great albums, and it's hard to compare a lot of them.
What's funny about Drake is like if you put all his songs on there and you go, oh, he's pretty good, and then you see all of the hits, and that doesn't even include the features, and it's like overwhelming.
Drake has a lot of hits. I mean, he's definitely if they got a Hall of Fame for rappers, he's definitely going to be in the Hall of Fame for sure. Like, he's probably one of the top three, honestly. I don't know about all time, but he's definitely a top three in the game right now for sure.
I was like looking through some of your career accomplishments, and I realized that your first sack was on Aaron fucking Rodgers.
Yeah, on my first start too. I think it was week 10.
What was that like? Because I'm sure you watched film of them all week and were like, what are we up against?
That game was, I mean, if you think about that game, we actually blew the Packers out that game, like beat them like over two touchdowns or whatever. But just getting that sack on Aaron Rodgers, a legend. I got up and I didn't even know what to do. I was just so excited. I just threw my arms up. I just got super excited. But like I said, it was my first start. It was, I think it was kind of coming into my own a little bit. And I had a good game that game and kind of took off from there.
Can you explain to people that maybe don't watch film or don't have to play on the field why Aaron Rodgers is so special?
I would have to say, you know, a little bit that makes Patrick Mahomes special. Like just the way he can just torque his arm and throw different passes. I mean, he's so cerebral. I mean, I'm pretty sure he calls his own plays sometimes and things like
that. Oh, no, he does. It came out. Called his own plays.
I mean, then you even see that I think the game where they played the Bears where he messed up his knee and he stayed there and threw a long bomb for a touchdown. I mean, that's something special. You have to really appreciate those kind of things. Like, I think sometimes we have a way of not appreciating guys until they're gone.
Yes.
But that guy, he's a legend. You know what I'm saying?
I was trying to convince the homies, my listeners, that I have a thing – the greatest quarterback that we've ever seen.
Okay.
It's not about titles.
Right.
It's about the ability to play the position. And for years, it's been Aaron Rodgers, the greatest quarterback we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to ask them this year to switch it to Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. And they told me it's too soon. But I believe that Patrick can do things that no one else can in the history of the NFL has ever been able to do.
Right.
Am I crazy or am I onto something?
You might be onto something. I wouldn't say you're crazy. I would say it's always going to be an argument between the two. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, what he did last year, you know, honestly, my preseason of my second year, we played him in the fourth game. And, of course, he wasn't starting at the time. It was Alex Smith there. And I think he started maybe the entire game. And I didn't play, so I was able to watch and sit on the sideline. And he bombed us, like, three times for over 60 yards. And I'm looking like, this dude is going to be the truth.
Yes.
So, I mean, I wasn't even surprised what he did last year. I mean, of course, some of the highlight throws, the no-look pass, I've never seen that before. So, I haven't even seen that in high school.
So, I actually, around Final Four, I got a chance to, like, I met him. We were hanging out. And I was like, man, that's crazy. He goes, I do it all the time. He goes, that was just the first time they caught me on camera. He goes, I didn't even think that was my best throw of the game. And I was like, oh, was that other one where you kind of threw it? He can throw balls that just like levitates over the ground. That's how strong his arm is.
Any platform. It's crazy.
Any platform.
And like I said.
And as a former quarterback, you can appreciate that.
Yeah, most definitely. Like I said, I was lefty. So sometimes if I had to, I can, you know, sling it out there a little bit. But I mean, you could tell he got that baseball in him that he can throw it from any platform. And like I said, it's special because most times, you know, they teach quarterbacks, you know, go over there, you know, comb the hair or something like
that's
what they used to say.
That's dumb.
I mean, to be able to, like I said, put his team in position to be able to run around, scramble, and do all the things he did. And I think he threw for like 50 touchdowns or something like that. I mean, it's just incredible.
How excited do you get when you saw the safety market in free agency this year? Just to bring it back to that. From this point, 2 years ago, safety's got nothing.
Right.
And I got really concerned about the position because there were all these top guys and nobody got paid.
Exactly.
And there were all these articles being written that the safety is a dying market.
Right.
Landon Collins, Tyrann Mathieu, Eric Berry, Earl Thomas, so many guys this year. Was it a relief? Was it excitement?
Yeah, I mean, I was excited to see guys like Landon Collins and Earl Thomas get paid. They're in my agency. And, of course, Landon, like, for a guy that's been working his whole life.
That's right. You're with the Derwin James, David Malagueta.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Like, safety taking over the NFL.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was exciting because, like I said, man, it's kind of weird to see, you know, people talk about saying the safeties has been devalued. You can't have a good defense without a good safety. Name any good defenses that's ever been without any good all-time great safety.
Yeah, I'm not going to come up with any.
Exactly. So, I mean, you have to have a good guy back there in the back end, because I think one of the things that you can talk about being in a good defense is eliminating big plays. So if something do break out, if a run breaks out or a guy catches the ball for 20, because, I mean, guys are going to make plays in the NFL. They get paid, too. But you got to be able to eliminate big plays and eliminate touchdowns and be good in the red zone, be able to communicate and do all those different things. You can have a guy back there that just can't talk and was quiet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So having a good safety in the back end of that defense is almost just as important as having, in my opinion, having a pass rush or getting sacks, honestly, because it's all about getting turnovers.
When you guys face the Patriots in the playoffs, they, it seemed like, were very good at rushing to the line and using your guys' communication against you.
Yes.
You guys are a very talkative defense. Mm-hmm. Before every play, you're setting everything up.
Right.
And did it feel like they were like, they talk a lot, let's take advantage of that? Did you feel that?
Most definitely. I mean, and that was my first time really having a true experience of Tom Brady.
Damn.
Playoff Tom Brady, too, as well.
Is it a different guy?
That was my first time playing him. So, you know, like I said, I mean, he came out there. You know, they got him out there. He runs out the tunnel with the Jay-Z music. And it was like, oh, man, this is real. And it's funny because, you know, our defensive coordinator back then, Dick LeBeau.
Sure.
I think this is maybe Tom Brady's.
142 years old.
Yes. I think it's maybe Tom Brady's 8th or 9th time playing against him. So, I mean, I think he probably went back to some old film and back when they was playing the Steelers back in the day, just watching film. And
yeah.
It just seemed like he had our number every single time. He almost knew exactly what was going to run, switching the run this way, screen this way, dump it off here, touchdown.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, man, it's like, oh, here we go again.
There's almost a thing that I feel that when you play the Patriots, it's almost better to be simple. Because they'll use your complexities again. Because they'll motion the tight end, and then they'll put the running back out there.
Right.
And you're trying to figure that out. And he's like, it's a fucking slant. But you just shifted your defense 8 times because
exactly.
of that, right?
Yeah, no, most definitely. Like I said, Tom Brady, he just has a way to – he knows mismatches, and he understands how to get guys, get a running back on a linebacker, and get all these different things. But, I mean, this year, like I said, last year, we was able to have good success against him. We was able to confuse him a little bit, confuse the defense, I mean, the offensive line, you know. And we got a couple sacks on him. We had him ducking a little bit last year. So
he was throwing off his back foot a ton.
Yeah.
Is it nice that Gronk's gone? Does that change their whole offense, you think? Or you think they'll still find a way?
I think they'll still find a way.
Because what's interesting about Brady is when you look at him statistically – you could take away Randy Moss.
Right.
You could take away all the wide receivers. The one guy that statistically changes Brady is Gronk. He goes from like 8 yards an attempt to like 6.5. Mm. So it goes from like Russell Wilson to Josh Rosen, which is enormous. So that's why I'm curious what's going to happen with them this year.
Yeah, I am too. But I mean, knowing Tom Brady, man, he won Super Bowls before Gronkowski.
True.
So I think he'll find a way. Like I said, I think they'll retool their offense a little bit. And he always, like I said, he know how to get those mismatches, man. If he's got to throw it to his running back 100 times, James White, then I think if that's what it has to do to get the chains moving, I think he'll do that.
You had a one pick, and you led to a Motown celebration, I think it was.
Yeah.
Which NFL team that do you think has the best team celebrations?
Team celebrations.
Because last year I thought defensive guys running to the end zone and taking a photo, everybody
got
did
old.
It.
Yeah, it got old.
New Orleans started it. I saw the Jets do it. I saw you do
it.
Yeah,
we do it a couple times.
Every team does it. Eagles do it.
Right.
Who do you think, though, that you respect team celebrations?
I liked the Chicago Bears celebrations last year. When Eddie Jackson was getting those pick sixes.
Oh, man.
And he was doing the orchestra in the end zone. That was dope. I was like, man, I was kind of jealous a little bit. I said, those guys are having a lot of fun last year.
Is it time to retire the defensive team photo?
I think it is. I mean, it's just funny because I think that's kind of just like the default one. When soon somebody catches a pick, oh, let's all go to the end zone.
And everybody goes like this.
Exactly. I think it's time for everybody to get a little bit more creative. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we'll see, man. Hopefully, like I said, we can get some pick sixes. We can get a lot more interceptions than we did last year. And we'll have some real nasty team celebrations.
Who are the defensive guys that you noticed during crossover film that you've grown to be a fan of? Who else in the league have you become a fan of?
I mean, I like Derwin James a lot. Yeah, even though he was a rookie last year, I mean, that guy was all over the field. Like I said, because a lot of times you get a lot of safeties or guys that can only do one thing. You got to be in line of scrimmage. You got to be here. You got to be there. Just watching him be able to play in the post. I seen him play in the post one time against Tyreek Hill and made a big play in the back of the end zone.
It was the first game of the year.
Right.
Patrick had already had like 3 touchdowns, and he threw like a 60, 70-yard bomb.
Right.
And Derwin went full horizontal, smacked it out of the way.
It was dope, man. So to see him being able to play the post, and I mean, he's a monster in the box, blitzing and doing things like that. I think he's going to be a special player in this league.
Derwin had a good dunk this offseason. Devontae Adams had a pretty good dunk. I've been starting up the who's the best dunker in the NFL. Is there anyone that I don't know of that you've seen throw it down that needs credit? Or best basketball player in the NFL overall?
I've seen Jalen Ramsey dunk a little bit.
Okay.
You know, he lives in Nashville.
He's so long.
Exactly. I've seen him get up there a little bit. So,
My knee's almost destroyed.
Right. But, I've seen highlights of Derwin as well get out there and play some good ball. So, I would like to see both of them go up against each other. If y'all two can, you know what I'm saying, get a little one-on-one.
I want to start rivalries. I want to start, like, Derwin versus Jalen, like, one-on-one pay-per-view.
Yeah.
First to 11.
Go ahead and promote it, man. Listen, man, Derwin, Jalen, if you're watching, if you're hearing, want to see y'all one-on-one, man. We want to
see. Yes. And you'll be the ref.
Yeah, I'll be the ref, man. I'm not going to get
in there,
man.
And he'll wear his black and white Supreme as his ref.
I ain't trying to get dunked on, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a referee.
When you did the star, Deion Sanders kind of came after you on Twitter.
Yeah.
Has that been resolved? Are we good?
Yeah, I mean.
Did you just let it go and he hasn't actually apologized yet? Because, I wasn't a big fan of that, Deion.
Right.
I thought that was kind of fucked up. I love Prime.
Right.
But I don't even think he realized you were playing.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I said. I think, you know, players make mistakes. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he really understood what was going on. So
you haven't gotten an apology yet?
I'm not even looking for an apology.
I'm looking for an apology.
I'm not looking for an apology.
You need to apologize to Kevin Byard because you tweeted and you didn't even realize he was a player.
Yeah, but, I mean, I got a lot of respect for Deion as a player, man.
How can you not?
I think, you know, sometimes you get on TV as a reporter, you know, you even see Stephen A. Smith made a couple mistakes last year as well.
Right?
But, I mean, that guy is an awesome reporter. He's great at what he does.
Yeah.
Like I said, I got respect for both of those guys.
I think Stephen A. Smith is magical.
No, for sure.
I think a lot of people, they get annoyed by Stephen A. I've never seen somebody yell and use such big words,
right,
and it all makes sense.
That's what I'm saying, man. He's a legend, man. I mean, he deserves to get paid what he's about to get paid, or if he already got it or whatever.
So I call this the Players Podcast. Who do you believe is the most popular reporter amongst NFL players? My thought was that it's Josina right now.
Okay.
Just because I feel like anytime she's the one that interacts with the players the most.
Sure.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. I mean, just watching her interviews and things like that, how she talks to players, and I think she's real authentic and genuine. So I would have to agree with you on that one.
I'm looking at your division. Texans, you know, Deshaun. Mm-hmm. Jaguars, Nick Foles. You guys, Mariota, you just picked up Tannehill. Mm-hmm. And then who's the other team that I'm missing in your division?
You said Indy?
Andrew Luck.
Yeah, Andrew Luck.
And I was saying all that to get to the Colts.
Right.
It felt like they changed drastically.
Right.
What was it like on the field with that offensive line and a healthy Luck? Like, you didn't have that the first 2 years you were playing.
No, not at all. I mean, honestly, in my opinion, I think we have the most competitive division in football right now. I mean, from top to bottom, I think every team can make it to the playoffs, and I think that's what's definitely going to make it down the stretch. It's going to be – I think we play Houston in the last game, so I'm pretty sure it's going to have some playoff implications as well. So, I mean, Andrew Luck, man, to see him come back from – being out of football for an entire year. They shored up their O-line with big Quentin Nelson. He's a beast as well.
Dude.
Yeah, he's a big boy right there. But, you know, I think they're going to be very competitive, and we'll see them coming in Nashville week two, man. I haven't beat Andrew Luck since I've been in the league. So that's something
that's right. He's, like, undefeated.
He's undefeated. I think he's, like, 10-0 against the Titans, and that's something that we have to get off our
– Do you guys talk about that?
Yes, I know.
Does it go up on the board? Like,
nah, it don't go up on the board, but I know.
Put it on the fucking board then.
My DB coach said it the other day. He said, you know, he wake up in the morning, he says his prayers, and he comes in. He's like, how can I get better today? And how can I be Andrew Luck?
Man.
So, I mean, we definitely got to, you know what I'm saying? We got to
get over that. Has he ever complimented you? Because that's his thing if he gets sacks. Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, he's such a nice guy. It's kind of hard to trash talk him. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the game, he's going to, hey, man, I love your game. You're a great player and stuff like that. It's like, man, come on, man.
I want to hate
say
you.
Something. Say something, yeah. Trash, so I could say something back to you. But
Bart Scott told me that the one player he was actually afraid of was Larry Allen. Mm. And Bart talked a lot of shit.
Right.
But he said, this is a man that can bench 500 pounds and grew up in Compton. Is there any offensive player that you purposely do not want to talk trash because they're just that physically imposing? There's a lot of offensive linemen out there that are tough. Right. You got one on your team,
yeah,
Lawan,
sure. That's my guy.
But is there anyone that you face that you're kind of like, ooh, I don't really need to get pinned to the ground by that guy?
Right. Well, Quentin Nelson would definitely be on maybe high on that list. I mean, just watching him last year, that guy's so strong and big. I think maybe he's bench pressing 500 pounds. But I remember my rookie year, Osemele. He just got traded.
Kelechi Osemele was on the Raiders, now on the Jets.
I remember my rookie year, man. I was coming to box to fit the run, and they was pulling. And I kind of got caught behind the eight ball, man, and he literally did this, and I flew like 5 yards. And I ended up injuring my own teammate. He sprained his ankle, and he was mad at me for that. But I was like, man, that guy is huge and big. So that's somebody I definitely don't want to see pulling around the edge no more.
And he just like, hey. Like,
he did. I didn't even say nothing. I think he just went right back and lined up. And that's like, that's the worst when you get somebody that just literally just lines back up, don't say nothing. That's how Quentin Nelson is. Don't really say too much. He's going to line up, hit you, line up, and hit you again. It's
and
like, oh,
just
man.
Just a machine.
Exactly. You can't really get into their hands a little bit.
Wide receiver that when you're defending the post, you're just like, I got to get on it. Like, it's going to be a track meet.
I would say AB, man. We play AB.
Really? I thought you were going to say Tyreek.
Tyreek Hill is one of those, too.
Yes. But what is it about AB?
Man, AB is just a different cat, man. I think just his work ethic and
See, I hear that. But I'm asking you, during the game,
right,
what is it about AB that makes him such a tough cover?
I mean, he's just always moving, just like a jitterbug. And it's like he's always trying to get open. And, I mean, one thing that I knew when he was with the Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger was always looking for him.
Mm.
So it's like, you know, if you have a post safety, you better make sure you're leaning over
AB. Because I feel like he's lost a step.
You think so?
In terms of straight line speed.
Right.
Like, I think if he threw a go ball.
He caught a couple deep balls last year, though.
But I think Ben's one of the greatest deep ball throwers the game's ever seen. Like, he drops it in there.
I can agree with that.
But I think AB, like, when he was younger, he was a lot faster. AB's quickness is unbelievable. And his ability and his awareness on the sideline.
Right.
Like, his ability to get his feet down, that, like, he opens up parts of the field that other wide receivers don't because they can't do those things.
Right, right, right.
But I always get surprised because I go, I think you're faster than Antonio Brown.
We had the race. We'll have to see. I think I can hawk anybody pretty much, maybe except for Tyreek Hill, maybe. But
he's unbelievable.
Nah, he's unbelievable.
But with AB, you're just saying he's got everything in the chamber.
Yeah, I think he's just a complete player. I mean, for a guy that may not be, you know, 6'1", 6'2", I mean, he's a jitter, but he can run every single route. And like I said, I'm pretty sure Oakland's going to develop a lot of different plays and kind of sees what he likes to do.
Yeah.
I mean, he just knows how to get open, man. He's always open.
The NFL is starting to get a little bit NBA-ish in terms of the offseason.
Yeah.
This felt like an NBA offseason.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown got a gold mustache and pretty much got himself traded.
Uh-huh.
Odell, out of nowhere, traded to the land of LeBron, mm-hmm. Cleveland. And then I'm seeing Le'Veon go. It was interesting.
Right.
When the AB thing was happening, I'm at home eating popcorn, and this is crazy.
Right.
What was it like in the NFL world watching this guy kind of do all these things? Yeah. What was it like to see?
I mean, it was honestly a wonder. Of course, it kept everybody, you know, checking their phones and stuff like that. But I think that's what happens in this game when you have, you know, star players, you know what I'm saying, the top of the game. You know, they just carry a certain amount of power. And, you know what I'm saying, certain things where they can, you know, sometimes they can control their own situation.
Yeah.
Determine where they can go where, you know, most of us can't. So.
Well, like, I'm sure, what are you texting your teammates and you guys, like, are you guys seeing this right now? Like, was it like that level?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was something that everybody was watching, everybody was seeing. Honestly, I think the most surprising thing was seeing Odell get traded to Cleveland.
Dude.
You know what I'm saying? That kind of broke everything. I feel like I just caught a flight and I just got back in the house and I seen on my phone, I ran to the TV, cut the TV. I'm like, is this real? Is this real?
Real.
Like, it was crazy.
Him, Jarvis, Njoku.
Week one.
That's who you play week one?
Week one.
Baker.
Uh-huh.
You realize the attention that's going to be on that game? They've become, like, the most interesting team in the NFL to a lot of people.
They said their ticket price has doubled since last year. Like, the median ticket price has doubled already.
And you get to watch their film for the next, like, 4 months to get ready. Tell me about that. Holy crap.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Like I said, last time I played Jarvis, man, when he was in Miami, we was talking a lot of trash as well. So I'm excited to play him again. I think he's probably one of the best slot receivers in the league. And not only the best receiver, just blocking receiver as well. He's super aggressive. And have Odell right next to him and Baker and the boys. And it's going to be super exciting because, like I said, man, us as a DB, man, we kind of have our – own little thing, MMCMB, my man catches no balls. So we're going to be super excited. Ooh. It's going to get real competitive week one. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a sold out. So,
dude,
man, it's going to be awesome.
Dude, because you know they're going to try and take a shot to Odell.
Oh, yeah.
Early.
Hey, I'm
like,
waiting for
it. I'm thinking flea flicker.
Right.
I'm thinking really like Odell's the one receiver and they got like three tight ends and it's like a play action. Like, they're going to want to go over the top.
I mean, listen, man.
It in Cleveland or Tennessee?
It's in Cleveland. That's what I'm saying.
You are entering the Lions' den.
Listen, last time I was in Cleveland, I caught three interceptions. So, in one game.
Shout out to Sean Kiser.
So, like I said, it's going to be super exciting, and I'm pretty sure Baker's going to be watching film on me as well.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, if you think he can get it over the top, man, I'm glad to see him try. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be super excited.
Yeah, you got a message for Baker? What are you going to say?
Hey, listen, man, I'm just going to let my play do the talk. Like I said, it's a long time from there. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, it's going to be super excited. I'm excited to play him, and it's going to be a great game.
I think the cool thing is sometimes you get a dud on your first week, and it's not that exciting, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I feel like it makes the offseason that much more exciting.
Oh, most definitely.
Right?
We're coming straight out the gate. So, you know, all offseason, I'm going to be thinking about that week one, thinking about Odell, thinking about Jarvis, thinking about Baker and the boys, and making sure I'm doing everything I need possible and helping bring everybody else along as well to understand, like, we have a great opportunity in week one to go out there and, you know, kind of shock the world, in my opinion.
My last thing for you is first pick of the third round. Before you had the 8-interception season, and I think everybody kind of knew who you were after that, was there ever a moment where an opponent really didn't know who you were and your play did the talking to where they felt the need to either come up to you after the game and say, man, I didn't realize, or during the game? Was there ever a cool moment like that?
Yeah, like I said, I grew up a Steelers fan, so after – that year I caught all those interceptions, Ben Roethlisberger came to me in the game. He was like, man, you're a great player. You know, I love your game and things like that. That meant a lot to me because, like I said, I've been watching the Steelers ever since his rookie year. So it was pretty awesome, pretty dope.
And is that a moment that, like, on the way home you're thinking about it? Like I remember being here at Turner, and, like, one time I walked in and Barkley was like, hey, Adam. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
He knows, like, you know what I mean? And, like, right. For, like, 2 days, I was like, shit, if Barkley knows my name, I'm good. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'm sure it was like that with Ben, too.
Nah, most definitely. My family was there at the game, so, you know, I'm telling them, like, yeah, Ben Roethlisberger came to me, said this. He was like, man, for real? He's like, yeah, he knew who you were?
That's
I said,
awesome.
Yeah, man. So it was pretty dope, man. Like I said, I mean, now, you know, I'm swapping jerseys with a lot of different guys and stuff like that.
Yeah, who have you swapped with?
I've swapped with a lot of different guys, especially, I mean, guys that I've played with.
Do you want to swap with a wide receiver or with another DB?
I usually try to swap with DBs, but at the same time, if it's a receiver that I respect and that I really like, then we may swap jerseys. But you know, I'll swap jerseys with, like, Rashard Jones, of course, Jalen Ramsey. I mean, hopefully I can get more guys that I play this year. But, I mean, I got a good little jersey collection. Hopefully I can add a little more. Oh, also, Eric Weddle, I swapped with him down at the Pro Bowl. That was pretty dope. I think he's going to be a future Hall of Famer, so.
He's up there.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean,
it'll be interesting with him at the Rams too.
Really interesting. I think he'll be able to change the culture of that defense.
Honestly. Oh my God! I think his ability to put Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib in the right spots.
Exactly.
I think he may lead to Marcus Peters being an All-Pro next year, because if Weddle sets him up,
right.
Peters' ability to jump routes is so good.
Exactly.
And he's a dog. And so if Weddle goes, you know, watch the flat.
Right.
And Peters can only worry about that.
Exactly.
He might have 8 picks.
Man, I think that's what's so underrated about safeties. And you got a guy like Weddle. You know, it's not only just the on the play field and the stuff that you may, oh, Weddle's slowing down and stuff like that. But the guy's so smart. He's a great leader. He brings everybody along. And that's so underrated when it comes to safety. You can have a guy that's back there that sees everything.
Oh, man.
That's so cerebral, so smart, man. Like I said, it could change the defense. You see how good Baltimore's been the past few years.
All right, so if I put you – this is my last one, so I apologize to everyone recording this. You're free safety. You're not allowed to pick Logan. You're not allowed to pick Malcolm. You're not allowed to pick any of your teammates. Build the rest of the secondary around you how you would want your perfect secondary, not including teammates.
I can't answer that question, man.
That's bullshit.
I can't go against my guys. I have –
No, but I'm telling you that, like, you would pick them.
Okay.
So, like, if you had your first pick, you would pick your teammates. Yeah. I'm saying you can't have them. So, like, I'm putting Ramsey on one side.
Okay.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean.
This is how we're going to pull this tooth
okay,
out
okay,
here,
okay,
Kevin.
Okay, I got it.
Because there's no drama here.
Sure. I'll probably choose my guys. Like I said, I got, I feel like I would choose the guys that's in my agency. I got Casey Hayward on one side. I got Jalen on the other side. You could put Landon right next to me. And I think we'll be dope.
Okay, let's talk the agency really quick.
Okay.
Did this just start happening? Did your agent, David, just start picking the right guys? Or, like, how did it get to this point where you guys are all under the same house? It's insane.
Right. I think it just got more to do with relationships. You know, I think kind of started with him having Earl. And then he kind of had – I think he had Landon. And then after that, I think he kind of had Jalen and those guys. And
so when you're coming out, see all these safeties under one place.
Right.
You're like, oh, I want to go there.
So I actually was with a different agency before. And after my rookie year, you know, I was kind of thinking about transitioning to a different agency. And, a guy's kind of say, hey, man, David Mulligetta, man, he's a real good agent. He'd be interested in signing you. So I already knew. I'm like, man, he got all these top guys.
Yeah.
And kind of knowing that, he has all these safeties and all these safeties are great players, I want to be a part of that family.
And it's cool because you guys, hang out with each other.
We hang out with each other. I mean, like I said, we have Kenny Vaccaro, who's on our team as well. We got a lot of great guys. And like I said, actually this summer we're going to have, a safety summit. So we're all going to be down there working out together.
I was saying when Von Miller did the pass rushing summit,
right,
they should do this with all the positions. Who is heading it up? Who's the safety that's kind of leading in the charge?
Of course it's going to be Earl. He's going to be, he's the older guy.
He's the
wise one. So we're going to be down in Texas, going to be working out. But
a fucking invite.
Yeah,
I just want to shoot the shit and I want to get a lot of you guys around the table.
Right.
And talk about the safety position, the history. So tell your man, David,
I guess,
that I need to talk to him because safety is my favorite position.
Sure.
Brian Dawkins is all of my passwords.
Oh, man.
Now my password is not Brian Dawkins. It's different.
You got an underscore one or something like that.
There might be an exclamation point in there somewhere, but I think safety is the cool. I grew up loving Ronnie a lot, and I loved Brian Dawkins, but also I loved the guys Adrian Wilson. If you remember that guy from the Cardinals,
AZ, come on,
amazing. I've always, because I think it's one of the most versatile positions in all of sports.
Right.
And I love the quarterback and the defense. And it's when a safety lays the wood, it is one of the best because it's pure.
You're right. I mean, but nowadays, we get flagged so much. It's so hard to do it. I mean, I didn't see my guy Kenny get flagged a couple times as well. So and trying to take that part away from the game. But, we're all for player safety and things like that. But, I mean, like I said, when you get a guy that can hit, that can cover, that can, and not only nowadays, not only just covering, because you got to cover these tight ends. Sometimes you got to cover some receivers in the slot.
Right.
So to be able to do as much as you can and also have that leadership aspect is so valuable.
Look out for my guy coming out of Mississippi State, John Abram.
Yeah.
A lot of people are listening to the top safety. I had him on the show. He is, I only want to pick one guy in the draft to be my favorite. He's my favorite.
Okay.
So if you cross paths with him, that didn't make any fucking sense. Take care of him for me.
Nah, most definitely, man. I heard he's a good player.
Great to meet you.
Yes,
don't
sir.
Give me the real fucking handshake.
Come on, let's do it, man.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go.
Byard, Kevin Byard, Tennessee Titans, 31?
31.
Why 31?
I actually got Debo from my college number 20, when I was coming out by Parrish Cox. And, I had no choice, but so I went with 31, and I made some plays in 31, so I was like, there's no point in switching now.
Be on the lookout. What's your social?
KB_31Era, and then of course I'm KB31Savage on Instagram. So
hit him up, let him know that he's the fucking man. You are the dude.
I appreciate it.
You.
Yes, sir.